Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. On the Sabbath between the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles, we briefly pause from the meaning of the Day of Atonement when, through the exile of evil, the banishment of Satan to the bottomless pit, mankind will be finally reconciled to God. Between the world we live in today and that future time are incredible events prophesied in the Bible, with even Jesus telling us of a time of tribulation greater than the world has ever known. Knowing that there will be this future time of trouble, what should we do to approach this stop on our journey to eternal life? Let us consider the wisdom of Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. When we think of lions in the Bible, we might think of Satan who, like a roaring lion, seeks our destruction. Lions are majestic animals of the animal kingdom, and when a lion roars, people tend to take notice. That's probably one of the reasons why a major movie studio used a roaring lion to introduce its films. What we are told in Proverbs is to be a lion, never shrinking back in fear, always able to roar to defend the faith that we have. In the proverb, we need to consider if we are the wicked or the righteous. God sees us as the righteous because we put our trust in Him and not on man. As the righteous, we need to be bold as lions. Lions roar to alert intruders to stay away and to connect with other lions. Contrary to belief, lions typically would not use a roar in hunting, as it would give their location away to their prey. As Christians, we need to use our voice and our actions to alert others that we are different, that we are not part of the status quo. When Satan walks back and forth as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, Satan roars because to him, we are the intruders on his earth. On planet Earth, it is sort of like we have the lion pack of Satan and the lion pack of Jesus and God. As members of the lion pack of Jesus and God, we are to be bold and not intimidated by those who are with Satan. We are with God because we are called, have the Holy Spirit, and put our trust in God. Those who trust man by default do not trust God, and instead trust the ways of this world, which are swayed by Satan. The two types of people do not mix well with each other. Those who are righteous, who trust God, see those who trust men in unfavorable terms. To be fair in the discussion, those who trust men feel the same about those who trust God. Both groups are an abomination to each other. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Knowing there are people who trust God and who trust men, we need to examine where we are on that scale of humanity, because we all face difficulties in life, whether these be physical and earthly in nature. These difficulties or temptations, regardless of from where these arise, can be used by Satan to undermine our relationship with God if, and that's a big if we allow this to happen. God will not tempt us with evil and instead gives us good and perfect gifts. Because God gives us good and perfect gifts, that sometimes means things do not always work as we would hope for, because God knows better. It is when we lust for something, when we covet something, that we are much more likely to make an error in judgment that can bring us harm. If we want something so badly we would do just about anything for it, that probably indicates lusting and coveting. If we desire something without lusting and coveting, we will put our trust in God, who will bring that to us if it will be a good and perfect gift for us. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. As we trust God and not men, we are to be strong and of good courage. As we trust in God and not men, our strength is renewed because we know God in the end will bring his kingdom to this planet when Jesus returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Some will respond out of fear at that time. We respond now to our calling with this future hope of the kingdom of God, because like Abraham and the children of Israel, we are God's people, the called, the chosen. God will help each of us, the called, during times of trouble. Isaiah 41, verse 1. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near, and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, Be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheneth with a hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou warm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. In Isaiah, we are given a glimpse into the future kingdom of God with a message to use this vision to be strong. We are to be strong. We are to be bold as lions, never surrendering to the forces of evil that seek to take from us what God has given to us. God will protect us from the forces of evil. During our life, we may very well come face to face with the forces of evil, and we will be protected from evil. We can be bold as lions because we know God will protect us and will repay others for the evil brought against us. Isaiah contrasts the present time of evil to this future millennial view where the parched desert comes alive through the rain. Living in El Paso in the middle of the desert Southwest, I know that rain transforms what we see. The rains of this summer transformed the landscape from parched and dry to lush and green. People who don't live in the desert might not see the comparison or when the desert landscape is lush and green, but those of us who call the desert home can readily see the change. During the future kingdom of God, no person will fear because God's kingdom will be present and the hardships we know today will be no more. Until that future time, we need to be positive with each other during any and all times of difficulty and even during the good times of life by reminding each other to be strong and of good courage, to be bold as lions, because on the earth, we are the righteous whom God protects. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. When we are attacked in any way, we can look to God and the examples from the Old Testament as a reminder of God's support for us. We can see that when God is for us, it makes no difference who is against us. For example, when Sennacherib, the king of the Assyrians, came to attack and take Judah, Hezekiah told his people to be strong and courageous, even though a fierce enemy was ready to attack with a large army, because Hezekiah knew God was with them and would fight their battles. Even though these words comforted the people, they prepared for a siege by cutting off water sources to the enemy and fortifying their position by strengthening their walls. Notice what is written in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 1. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the king of Assyria come and find much water?" Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with them, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. As we face our enemies today, we will also rely on God as the source of our defense. And like Hezekiah, we will take reasonable and prudent steps to protect ourselves. Beyond what is reasonable and prudent, we will put our faith and confidence in God, who will defend us. If we continued reading the account of Sennacherib's siege, we would see he repeatedly attacked the credibility of God and worked hard to sow doubt in the mind of the people, speaking words in Hebrew so loudly that all the city could hear. Hezekiah and Isaiah cried out to God for deliverance. God sent an angel who brought death to the mighty in Sennacherib's army, forcing him to withdraw and return home, where in the temple of his God, with a small g, he was killed by his own children. Sometimes change and transition can seem like an enemy because we move from the known to the unknown. As we who are the righteous move into the unknown, we can move with confidence. We can move being strong and of good courage without fear. God will be with us during uncertain times and times when what is new may be unfamiliar and somewhat overwhelming. As long as we are moving forward, yielding ourselves to God's righteousness and seeking first the kingdom of God, we can move forward in strength with courage. When David was nearing the end of his life and knew that it would be his son Solomon to build the temple, David carefully relayed all of the details regarding the temple and then also told Solomon to be strong and of good courage. Being strong and of good courage is how we in part demonstrate faith when our circumstances change. 1 Chronicles 28:11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasures thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold and for their lamps of gold, by weight for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver, and also pure gold for the flesh hooks, and the bowls and the cups, and for the golden basins he gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by the weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot and of the cherubims that spread out their wings, and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. Actions of faith will lead us to be spiritually strong so that we can be bold as lions. When Daniel encountered an angel of God, it was of natural concern. If an angel was introduced to any of us, each of us would probably be at least a little hesitant because for virtually all of us, this would be our first known encounter ever. When Daniel was overcome by the thought of having an angel talk with him, all he could do was be speechless, having an inability to even make eye contact. It was an angel who forced Daniel to speak, who also told Daniel to be strong, and Daniel was strengthened. Daniel 10, verse 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came and helped me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and he said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and he said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Similarly, we are also strengthened when we respond to God through faith. And as we ignore God, we are weakened. To be strong and courageous in faith requires our active participation. With Joshua, who led Israel into the Promised Land, was also the responsibility to lead the army into battle. Instead of fighting a spiritual battle, a physical battle was fought, and it was still necessary to be strong and courageous. In our life today, we do fight the spiritual battles against enemies we cannot see. We also fight battles where the enemy manifests so that we can see. That physical manifestation could be anything, such as a health concern or financial problem. We know in faith that if we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, our needs will be provided. With Joshua, the army found itself facing other people as the enemy. And in one case, Joshua had five kings sealed up in a cave because they hid there. Joshua did not want them to escape and waited until an opportune time when he had them brought to him. They were forced to the ground and held in a restrained position, killing them with a sword while keeping them pinned with his feet. While all of this was happening, Joshua told his people to be strong and courageous. As we face our battles in life, we must be strong and courageous. Joshua 10, verse 16. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in the cave at Makkeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And say ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And the people returned to the camp of Joshua at Makkeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave where they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouths, which remain until this very day. In writing a psalm, David wrote of the importance of waiting on God, and while waiting to be strong and courageous. We do not always get the answer we expect from God, not because there is something inherently wrong with us, because God knows what is needed in our life at any moment. If the world seems to be closing in around us and there appears to be little hope, as long as we are acting in faith, that is the hand of God allowing that to happen to create the highest level of benefit for the situation. We must be bold as lions, knowing that God will be with us, asking that we do not faint during our time of trouble. We must endure to the end. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up upon mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Doing something with determination is like being strong and courageous. When we act with determination, it is because we are not weighed down with the risks. We may know of the risks and what must be absolutely be avoided. When we act with determination, we are not paralyzed with fear. We act through strength with courage. In the story of Ruth, Naomi had two daughters, Orpah and Ruth. When given the opportunity to return to their families as the widowed Naomi was returning home, Orpah decided to leave Naomi and return to her family. Ruth was steadfast in her determination to stay with Naomi. With this action of Ruth, she demonstrated what it meant to be strong and courageous. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives to the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much more for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Jesus tells us there is a blessing in being persecuted for the faith. The blessing comes because it is implied faith is never surrendered. If we surrender our beliefs when challenged by others, there is no blessing in that. It should never be a surprise to us that we will be persecuted or considered to have a strange religion. We should wear persecutions of faith and attacks on our beliefs as a badge of honor, knowing we will have the kingdom of God one day. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, giving us peace in troubled times. Because we live in this world, we will have troubled times, and we should not allow these troubles to weigh us down, nor should we allow troubles to bring fear to us. John 14, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear rages in the absence of faith. Whenever we fear, whenever we are not strong and courageous, faith is either absent or greatly diminished. During the earthly ministry of Jesus, there was the need to cross the lake, and because the crossing took a long time, there was some time for sleep. While everyone was asleep, a storm crept up, causing the disciples to fear for their lives. Jesus asked them what happened to their faith. Fear rages in the absence of faith. With faith, we are bold as lions, and instead of fear raging in us, our faith rages so all around can see. Luke 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. In writing to Timothy, Paul reminds Timothy that we are all soldiers in Christ, that at all times we are soldiers. Soldiers cannot choose when to be soldiers and when to be a civilian. A soldier is always a soldier while in the army. As soldiers of Jesus, we cannot arbitrarily choose to, from time to time, choose not to be a soldier of Jesus. And as a soldier of Jesus, we will endure hardship. When facing hardships in life, we are to be bold as a lion, knowing our faith is being proven true. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. To the Philippians, Paul wrote that it is Jesus Christ who strengthens each of us. It is through Jesus Christ and not any action of our own that we are strong and courageous. Philippians 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how both to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Most of us know the whole armor of God that Paul wrote about to the Ephesians. We tend to overlook that as we fight spiritual battles that sometimes manifest in a physical form, that we are given tools to be strong and courageous so that we can stand in the power of God's might. And when we stand in the power of God's might, we are bold as a lion. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time at the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, thank you for joining us today.